Hey guys, you can totally help us out. You want to help us out, right? Well, totally help us out then. You can contribute to this show and many more on the Frog Pants Network by going to frogpants.com/subscribe and subscribe today. Easy payments, easy sneezy, and you help us out for just a couple of bucks a month. That's frogpants.com/subscribe. Coming up on TMS, what's the deal? What's the deal with Father's Day?
Get out. Miss Utah is embarrassing.
Psychic cancels his show for unforeseen reasons.
Whoa, skunk ape sighting in Florida.
Chewy is not allowed on that plane.
So connected stories there. Yeah. How much are those testicles in the window?
Sounded funnier you saying it than me writing it. Major spoilers.
Geek food.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
What's for lunch?
Borden's cottage cheese.
Hey, yeah.
Borden's cottage cheese.
Great ID. Lunchtime, snack time, any time of day. Cool, creamy Borden's cottage cheese is delicious.
It's packed with pure protein. Helps you do a real man-sized job.
And you can fix it any way you like.
I like it in a sandwich with strawberry jam.
Make mine with maple syrup. Mmm.
Give me Borden's cottage cheese with peaches. Any kind of fruit. Oh, boy.
The dirt comes off.
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. The Fresh Snacks with a snack in the middle.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. Did you recognize dude from the pilot from the airplane movie? I can't think of his name.
Graves? Peter Graves?
Peter Graves is in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You like Gladiator movies? You like cottage cheese?
Ugh, no. Do you ever like cottage cheese? I never did.
On a sandwich with some jelly.
Gross.
Now that sounds like it's a sandwich that's going to hold together really well.
Like these kids, they're out chopping wood. Like literally in this commercial in the 50s, they're out chopping wood like Little House on the Prairie style. Just hacking away. And you got Peter Graves out there with them, slaving them, telling them what to do. And then this old man, come and get it. And I'm thinking, big, some sort of roast turkey or, you know, huge carby meal for these hardworking wood chopping young men. No, it's a big bowl of freaking cottage cheese. That is not a meal. That's disgusting.
That's a side dish.
Yeah.
At best. Actually, I like cottage cheese. I don't think you do.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Hate it as a kid. I think it's the texture. I don't think it's the actual cheese.
Sure. No, that is the thing that kills it for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. It's like eating, have this curdled milk.
You have something that sounds, that looks like it's not finished in either direction. Right. You know, it looks like it should be, do you need to cook it more or cook it less? Yeah. What is it?
It's not quite runny enough. It's gross.
Is it a liquid that's turning into a solid or a solid that's slowly turning into a liquid?
Yeah. It felt like punishment every time I was given it, and I never liked it. My mom would be, oh, it's so good, though, with a little bit of fruit in there and a little bap, 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 bap. I'm like, no, Mom. It's never
Scotty,
good.
Scotty, if you keep cussing, I'm going to wash your mouth out with cottage cheese.
It could have been. That would have been the better. I had a number of punishments growing up, but that one would have been the best. Mm-hmm. It would have deterred me from all things.
Yeah.
Don't like it. So don't.
You don't hold with it.
No, I don't hold the cheese that
you
runs.
Don't hold
Bob.
With that, Bob.
By the way, you ended an email today. Speaking of you repeating things from the show, I literally heard the sound of it in my head when you said it.
Yeah, well, of course. That's the whole point.
I'll tell you the one here. So people know. All right, so it's this one right here. So Brian can type this in an email. And I can hear it in my head when he does it.
We are trying to help you.
I don't want your kind of help.
Then I will have to take the gun.
I will have to take the gun. And take the gun is one word. It's fantastic.
Right, all caps, yeah. One word.
Nice work. Nice work on that. All right. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's Monday, June 17th, 1 month away from my birthday. Mm-hmm. Don't care to even celebrate it, but it's coming. It's nothing you can do about it.
You know, you can look forward to it because you know that it's after Nerdtacular. So basically, you can say, hey, when my birthday rolls around, Nerdtacular will be done.
And I'll be in Vegas that day. So
you will be. Wow.
Yeah, my wife's taking me there for my birthday and have a good old time. I think I'm going to go back to house.
My wife would take me there for your birthday.
Right. See? then we'd be able to see you guys. That'd be nice. But she's going to take me there, and we're going to go to Hash House, a go-go again, and we are going to share one this time.
So, yes, smart.
Yeah, because That's a mound of food. That's enough for a small... seriously, you could take that to like an Inuit family somewhere in the north.
And say, yeah. That's,
oh, that's you have fed us for the entire winter. Thank you. Thank you, benevolent white man. Right?
Right.
Anyway, looking forward to all
of that. Yeah, I'm ready for another trip out there. My last one was like 24 hours, so that one you can't really count as a true trip. And the next trip is going to be a long one at the beginning of August, 9th through like 12th.
Oh, nice.
But I do need, and that's going to be a pure, I mean, that's going to be almost trivia 24/7.
Yeah, it's your big trivia trip.
24/4.
Yeah.
4 days.
Yeah.
24 hours a day. So I kind of want a relaxed trip out there, just a pool and pool, drink, gamble.
Yeah, we're going to be big time pooling it this time because it'll be hot as hell. And I like that heat, you know, I like the dry Vegas heat. So I'm into it. I'm excited to go. So anyway, yeah, Nerdtacular will be over by then. Speaking of which, coming up a couple weeks now. I don't feel like I'm ready, but whatever. We'll make it work. Do you feel like you're ready? Probably not.
No, I know I'm not ready.
You know you're not.
There are things that need to happen before I will feel ready.
Yeah, me too.
Things are coming together, but I am super excited. I'm excited for the whole Frog Pants All-Stars thing, but there's one round that you've seen before, that we've done before, but holy cow, am I taking it to another dimension.
Oh, no. I'm terrified.
Yes.
Terrified by what you're saying. Well, good. Well, that's going to be a blast, as always, and we're creeping ever closer. I'm going to put up a video in the next couple of days for people to kind of get a just kind of like last minute look at what's happening, what's going on, how not to bring fireworks, things like that.
Here's a video on how not to bring fireworks.
I don't want people getting in trouble. So although this year is less dry than last year. Last year we were already having those fires that almost destroyed my house during the last Nerdtacular. But we're not having that this year so far.
No fires this year.
Well, okay, we had a wetter winter, but everyone's on edge because last year was so dry and tindery that they're concerned. So they're extra vigilant.
Right.
And if they see you with a punk, remember the punks, those things that would slow
burn?
Yeah. If they see you with a punk, if they see you with Johnny Rotten.
Jail.
Right. Then you're in trouble.
We've been having our problems with fires out here.
Yeah, I've heard.
Big shout out, our best wishes go out to the Mayus, who, as far the last time I checked, they have not been evacuated yet, but they are fairly close to probably the biggest of the fires that we've got going on right now, the Black Forest fire.
Yeah, and that's not cool because last year they also had bad fires in that part of Colorado.
They did, yeah.
That doesn't feel fair to me that you guys have to deal with it year after year.
It's almost exactly on the opposite side of Colorado Springs from the fires last summer.
Oh, weird. Well, yeah. Nature's a beast. It's going to burn where it wants to burn. Was this one man-made or did they just something else?
I don't think they've identified a cause yet.
Because you know the one that almost got me in my neighborhood, you know?
Yes, right.
Some guy shooting tires in a dump. Somebody in a landfill shooting tires. So take that. All right. What's going on? Yesterday is Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Father's Day, Brian.
Yeah, happy post-Father's Day to you, too.
Well,
now that all the revelry has come down and...
You know, I did the hard part. I spread my seed and... Yeah, we're
be careful on how you take credit. I mean,
probably
you should. You're not saying you don't get credit. You get credit, right. But you got to be careful on how you proclaim that credit.
Correct. My wife does all the hard work. She deserves all the credit, honestly, for raising our children the way they are. I mean, yeah, I may have a thing or two to do with it, but it's a team effort. And for those who don't have where the team has broken up, that still can work really well, and I admire those fathers as well. So fathers everywhere, whether you're old or young, congratulations on another year as seed spreader. All right. I got curious about how the holiday began, because I thought, because to me it's a little bit weird. It's like, did we make this up? Like, when did this become a thing? I did a little research, found out that when World War II began... Is back in the 40s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Late 30s, early 40s. And fathers were leaving for war. Father's Day was more to honor the troops. It wasn't until 1972, this is you and I would have been about 2 years old, when Richard Nixon signed a proclamation making Father's Day a federal holiday. Being a father is the best thing that's happened in my life, said Baker. I don't know who this is. I was excited through the entire pregnancy waiting for her to come out.
Father Baker.
Father Baker, right. It's coming to CBS this fall. I was the first to want to get a hold of her, and I'm a proud father, says some guy about his kid. Yeah, so Father's Day.
Came way after, like, Mother's Day. I decided to look this up because I was curious about it. So Father's Day became an official holiday in 1972.
72.
Mother's Day became, or was first celebrated in 1908. Mm. I don't see where we get, like, an official...
Official mother, like a proclamation?
Yeah.
You know, we all hate Nixon, right? Kind of a bastard. Arr, 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 that guy, right? No one likes Nixon. Yeah.
You know, I liked him. I liked him in that battle against Frost, though.
Yeah,
that
it was pretty good. It was real good. I love that movie, actually.
Yeah, I do, too.
It's really
yeah.
good. I like him in Futurama a whole lot. I think he's really good in there. Right. But I, you know, he had his issues and a bit of an embarrassment here in these United States.
Mm-hmm. It's the second time in 2 days that you've described somebody as a bit of an embarrassment.
Yeah, I have. Right. What was the other one, though? I don't remember.
It was the actress in the movie we watched, the ninja, the right. one that everybody beats up on.
Right. She's a bit of a local embarrassment, I think is what I called her.
A bit of a local embarrassment, yeah. Yes.
Well, anyway, what was I saying? I don't remember. Oh, Nixon. So, well, here's a nice thing he did. I mean, he was pretty good with China, had that going on. I think this is what I was two, so I don't know. But he did that stuff, and then he made Father's Day, and then he peed all over the Constitution. So good luck and fair weather, Mr. Nixon. Okay, Miss Utah. So you've been following the Miss America stuff at all, like with any interest?
Oh, sure. I've been on the I'm only using the front edge of my seat.
Okay, good.
Because this is so exciting. No, I know I saw Connecticut one.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
So, and she will go around the world and spread something about the something and
world peace and crown.
Yeah, I guess breast cancer and ovarian cancer is her deal. So
that's great. Fine.
It's good that they make something that's actually useful out
right.
of this.
Right. At least, you know, at least that. Okay. That's what you could say about a big wiener car. You know, the cars look like a big hot dog.
The Oscar Mayer car.
You could say, at least it drives. You can get somewhere in it.
Wienermobile.
Yeah, that's how I'd like it.
Right, exactly. Well, at least it'll get, that's entertaining, and that brings joy to all who see it go by. But I just think the whole Miss America, Miss Universe thing is just so, there's so little done with it. Unless you're on one of the four high schools that she goes to give a speech every year,
right.
then it's like, okay, that's done. That's the last I'll hear about that for 364 days.
And I feel like the days are gone when these people end up going on to like film careers and stuff. Like, doesn't really
like
happen.
Meriwether, right? Batgirl, Catwoman. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, she was disgraced. Quote unquote
Vanessa
disgraced.
Williams.
But yeah. But, you know, couldn't have Eraser without her.
no, right.
Right. I mean, she was
what was it, the Pocahontas song?
Oh, right.
Did she do one
she
of the
sang,
songs?
She sang something, yeah.
For Disney. I think it was Colors of the World for Pocahontas.
Yeah. I was naked in penthouse
with George Burns.
It was fantastic. Anyway, so Miss Utah got within striking distance of winning this thing. Lovely woman. Beautiful. You look at her and go, wow. We make those hair, right? Like, it's impressive.
Wow, okay.
She's really pretty and all that. And I didn't watch any of this, but it was brought to my attention that apparently Miss Utah, this probably lost her the crown. I don't know. But apparently she said the stupidest thing since that one blonde chick some years ago. Do you remember that whole thing where she got up and just embarrassed everybody with, like, the worst
maps,
thing ever?
Right, yes. I think the problem, such as maps and the Iraq...
Right. She was trying to speak to world peace and couldn't do it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a new heir to that particular crown.
Oh, no. Okay.
We're proud here to announce, or I should start calling her a local embarrassment, that Miss Utah said the following. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
This is pretty bad. Here we go.
A recent report shows that in 40% of American families with children, women are the primary earners, yet they continue to earn less than men. What does this say about society?
I think we can relate this back to education and how we are continuing to try to strive to figure out how to create jobs right now. That is the biggest problem. And I think especially the men are seen as the leaders of this. And so we need to try to figure out how to create education better so that we can solve this problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Utah. Thank you, sweetheart.
Say first thank off, you, Utah. Gosh,
first off,
it.
are they filming a porn behind her? What's the music like that?
I was gonna ask you if you know when they started doing like bossa nova backbeat crap. That's really weird. It was like a game show where they were having to
CeeLo Green to come out and start singing along with that.
Yeah,
that is a little distracting. Maybe you could attribute some of this to that, but
Well, I mean, she's in her evening thing, and it's I can't imagine how you know. It's got to be nerve-wracking. The whole thing must be just anxiety on crack. Right. I understand that, but wow, that's just...
Did she ever at any point address?
No.
Talk about women.
No, she ran in circles. It's the men who are the leaders of this, and
making
so
jobs. We need to figure out how to make jobs.
We got
to
make education better.
She's channeling Mitt Romney.
I know, dude.
Doing.
She totally is. Anyway, so way
jabs.
To
we need to figure out how to make more jabs.
It sounded like you said japs. We jabs. Need to make more japs.
We made more japs.
Anyway, whatever. I don't know how nervous she was. I don't know what that experience is like. Maybe that was the worst thing you could ever be doing. I don't know. Yeah. But man, that didn't sound great.
No.
It sounded real bad.
I think it sounded like she was expecting a different question.
Yeah. It did. Like, oh, they're not asking about childcare or they're not something. So I just did a Google search of Miss Utah. It's just nothing but news articles and blog posts about how terrible.
That's
not good, you know. Now she's gonna have to deal with this. So for the next I guess I'm not helping.
I guess I'm doing it here too. Darn that media doing
exactly what we're up to. We're beyond reproach. But I hope she takes it in stride and just, you know, she made it to fifth or whatever place. And she's lovely. Have you seen little photos of her here?
She's beautiful, yeah. And I got to say, I'm embarrassed to say I did recognize that the person asking the question was Nene Leakes or Nene Leakes.
Yeah,
or
who
Nene.
Is that, by the way?
I guess she doesn't. She never watched The Real Housewives of Atlanta, but she's apparently on that show. But I knew her from a couple seasons ago, The Apprentice, Celebrity Apprentice. She was one of the... one of the celebi fools on that.
So wait, so our judges for this contest or for this whatever this is, are all
at a reality show.
Jeez.
Well, I mean, what is Miss America? What is the Miss America pageant? Isn't it one of the first, you know, variety reality shows that it's been on since the black and white days?
It's a pretty
since
good
the
point.
Other variety shows.
It's a pretty good
Burns
point.
And Allen and,
yeah. These people would be on The Love Boat if it was on now.
Right.
Right.
Now, see, now here's what you do. Make this whole thing entertaining. Change up the whole swimsuit, Miss America, Miss USA. Actually, even better for the Miss World or Miss Universe or whatever. Do the real world business or the Big Brother business and stick them all in a house and let them all fight it out for
for prizes and money. Yeah.
For prizes and money, votes, whatever.
I'm into
that. And, you know, make them work for this.
Yeah, I'm totally into that.
2 hours of parading around on stage in bikini and evening gowns and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Done.
But finished.
No, stick them in a house for 3 months with Julie Chen barking orders at them.
Brilliant.
And see how they do with that.
Love it. All right. I'm into that. I'm trying to find the famous girl from the 80s and I can't find her. Oh, well.
You're not talking about, from the 80s?
Yeah, we had one from Utah. No. We had one from Utah from the 80s who was kind of a big whoop. And I don't remember what her name is. Apparently not that big of a whoop. I can't find her name anywhere. Anyway, someone out there will know and they'll email me. But she was great. She represented and like did all kinds of good stuff and made a big noise about it. And she won that year and I can't remember her name. Saved my life. Anyway, doesn't matter. Point is, good luck to all of them. Oh, look at this. In 1957, Charlotte Sheffield was first runner up, later Miss USA in 1957, because Leona Gage, who won, was disqualified. And she took the crown. Let's see what scandal that was about.
I know. I love Miss America scandal.
Oh, here it is. Okay, here you go. It was a beauty queen from Maryland who was crowned Miss USA in 1957, the first from that state to capture the Miss USA crown. She was stripped of her title when it was revealed that she was 18, married, and the mother of two children. The scandal!
For shame.
Oh, my. She died at age 71 in 2010. Anyway.
Oh.
I
was just looking to see. I guess we had the transgender contestant last year.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, there was Miss Canada was transgender, but that was for the Miss World, I think, or Miss Universe.
Yeah.
Jenna Talikova.
Well, that's when you compete against aliens and stuff, so it's not as
right, exactly.
It's not as big of a social problem, yeah.
The rules are a little bit more stringent.
Actually, I have a problem with that. I've always had a problem with them calling it Miss Universe. And they play with this on Futurama to great laughter. I love it.
I'm sure they do.
But yeah. I don't understand why we think we're so cool that we can pick the prettiest, smartest, whatever girl in all the universe.
That's right.
That seems a little self-centered.
When the aliens come and take over, that's the first thing there. That actually is the source of their gripes.
That's where it all
exactly.
starts? Okay.
Yes.
Wow. plot of District 10 revealed.
Right.
on right, TMS. Yes. Fantastic. Exactly. Well, anyway, and another quick note. Happy Father's Day to everybody listening to the show. We hope you had a great day. Oh, yeah. One other note. We did Film Sack yesterday. Make sure you check it out. I had a blast. Oh, yes. I know you guys, I think you guys did. It was Swashbuckler.
I absolutely did.
Terrible pirate movie from the 70s.
Yes.
And we watched it, and it was great. If you want to see James Earl Jones with his hairy chest.
The cavalcade of stars in this thing. I mean, Angelica Houston. You had Beau Bridges.
Yeah.
Robert Stack? Not Robert. Is it what Robert Stack?
No, Peter. No. Peter Boyle. You're thinking of, right?
Peter Boyle. No, yeah. I'm not. I know Peter Boyle's in there. Who's the main guy?
The guy that played Quint on Jaws, but I don't remember his name.
Yes. Yeah. I guess I get those 70s action.
I wish that was Robert Stack.
No, Robert Stack would have been great, right?
The unsolved mysteries. Oh yeah. By the way, that's what the music behind that. Thing from the Miss USA sound like.
Hey, a recent report shows that in 40% of
it sounds like a. It sounds like a. Like a. Like some kind of reenactment.
When he got out of jail, was he went and robbed a 7-Eleven?
Some bad reenactment.
Reinterpretation.
I hate that so bad. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, I'm glad those shows are gone. Let's call Daryl.
Yeah.
Something that's not gone. A segment we love.
He's our Mr. Universe. That's who he is.
Yeah. Ever do they do the dude one anymore? They used to.
They do the World's Strongest Man competitions. I don't know if they do. They'd have to do the Mr. Universe,
right? I thought they did for a while. I could be totally misremembering that, but I thought they had guys strutting around in Speedos at some point. I could be remembering.
I think so. Like, but it was there was no mental. It was all physical and it was all strength. If I remember correctly,
all strength. Yeah,
strength.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of men walking around in Speedos. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by.
That's good. I read this one. What is the best way to get Scott's attention, you ask? Just get my girlfriend to tweet him. He responds every time.
Do I really?
She's mine, Scott. Mine!
What? That's not true. I reply to everybody is the problem. Do I really do that to his girlfriend? This is Connor Phipps, isn't it?
Connor Phipps. Love the show, though. Our show is love, though, Connor Phipps.
Is that true? I reply
that's
to her
fantastic.
Every time.
I think it's a great test.
I had no idea. All right. I guess I do. I reply to almost everyone. You should see. Go look at my Twitter feed by its raw self sometime, where you can see replies to people you don't follow, because normally you don't. And you look at how you think. Oh, Scott's got 37,000 tweets. How is that possible? It's because I reply to most of you, if not all of you. So that's why. Come on, Connor. Ship shape, buddy. All right, Daryl, walking around in his Speedo in an undisclosed location.
Sure.
Good morning, Daryl. What's going on?
In a bunker.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, today, guess what? So I'm working out and I'm watching a Voyager episode. And I decided I'm going to start referring to Chakotay as Sharpie Face. You think I'm, is that cool? Because it doesn't look like a tattoo to me anymore.
I fell asleep on a newspaper.
Right. In his apartment and his buddies did it while he was drinking.
It's like Silly Putty.
It's stupid looking. Anyway. And Daryl, by the way, made a claim yesterday that I'm going to I disagreed with on the show, and I'll disagree with it again here. He claims that, what was her name? Sylvia Pajoli, not her.
Geneviève Bujold.
Yeah, that one was the original Janeway. She was cast. She was actually filming, doing production. There are scenes of her, completed scenes from the pilots, her running around acting in it. there was a bunch of talk about how that wasn't going to work out, either from her or the producers. One way or the other, she was off. They brought in Janeway and reshot all of the Janeway scenes.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, she's real bad. If you see the YouTube video,
I watched that this morning.
It's
I saw terrible. The YouTube video.
It's terrible.
It's really that she's just kind of diminutive. I mean, she's kind of, she has to look up at everybody. I didn't realize that she's so short compared to everyone in Swashbuckler. She doesn't look as tiny, but
no. You
can't really, it's like, okay, looking up at Chakotay, let's, Mr. Kim, down here.
I need some attention here. I just think she looked like somebody's irritated aunt, like just a frustrated aunt. And she wasn't captain-y. She didn't have the captain's swagger and stuff. It really made me appreciate Kate Mulgrew in a crazy way. Mm-hmm. But the point is, Daryl says that she is not a Star Trek connection in this episode of Film Sack. And I say, if you put on the uniform and you film scenes with the other principal actors in Star Trek, and even a few stuff has ended up being cutting room floor, I still think that's a Star Trek connection. I'm not saying it means she was a Star Trek regular that appeared on TV and anyone saw her until YouTube became a thing. I'm not saying that, or special edition DVDs or whatever. I'm just saying she was connected to Star Trek.
Both sides. It's like saying that The Big Chill is a Kevin Costner film, or
Eric Stoltz is Marty McFly.
Right, yes.
No, but see, I'm not saying she's Janeway. I'm saying she was filmed in Star Trek.
Well,
no, okay, if I was in an episode of The Fall Guy. How's that song go? I've been blown up for Raquel Welch or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Let's say I was in that show, okay? The mixed six
I'm
million.
Man.
He sings that, doesn't he, himself?
Yeah.
He does. You know what? We're going to find it. Hold on.
I got to play the.
I got
the
it right here. Yep, it's right here. Here
at
you
one
go.
Point, do Adam Scott and
well,
John.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah.
There you go.
I've never been with anything less than a nine. So fine.
That's great. Never been anything less than a nine. So fine. Great. What a cheese bag. Anyway, if I was in that show and at one point Lee Majors pushed me down a set of steps and I was a kid and they filmed that and it was supposed to be in the pilot, but then the pilot aired and they had to cut for time and my scene with me getting pushed down the stairs by Lee Majors got cut from The Fall Guy, I think you could still argue Scott has a Fall Guy connection.
But you didn't quit.
Well, no, let's say, okay. But that, how does that, it's still a connection.
That does make a difference.
Yeah, why, how?
Nah, she put herself on the cutting room floor, and after that, she was out.
Yeah, but she didn't say, I would like all association with Star Trek expunged from my record forever.
Would you say that there's a Tom Selleck connection to Indiana Jones?
Yes, but only tangentially, because he never filmed anything. He was considered for the role, picked for the role, and then before filming or any production started, and before he even got, you know, any kind of sort of script affiliation or anything, he was out. He's like, I'm doing, what was the show? Magnum P.I. He's like, I'm just going to go do that. So that's before anything happened. She's in uniform. She's filmed the entire pilot.
Isn't it basically a screen test, though?
She didn't film the whole thing. She filmed, like, for a day and said, this is no good for me. I am out of here, or whatever.
Right, but she put on the uniform, and she has. There's film in existence.
I've done that.
Right, but you haven't been on set while Rick Berman said action.
And
while Paris said to you, Captain, we don't know why the port nacelle is leaking dirty fluid, or whatever the thing he said is. Like, there is... there was Star Trek made with her in it. It didn't end up on the air, but it exists. That's a connection.
It wasn't Star Trek because she's not in any credits. She was never on anybody's screen on the show, so she's out.
It's still a connection, though.
It's completely. I mean, this discussion is just completely subjective. Yeah. There's no right, there's no wrong. Because what we're talking about is Star Trek connection.
This thing that we made up.
Define the rules for Star Trek connection, right. And then you'll have something.
This thing we made up for Film Sack, we're arguing about.
How close, well, I shouldn't say this at work, so I'm not going to, but how close does the thing have to be to the other thing for there to be a connection?
Right. And I would argue if you are in the if you are in the uniform and you're being filmed for it, I think that's a pretty good connection. That's all I'm saying. Now, if somebody called her on the phone and said, hey, Renee, or whatever your name is, you want to be on the Star Trek show? And she says, I would very much like to be on the show. And then hung up the phone and then called 10 minutes later and said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm busy. I don't think that's a good connection. But she was filmed.
If I was on the set of Hollywood Squares testing microphones and they ran some cameras and said, oh, this guy is stupid, and then turned the threw the film in the garbage, I would still be on film testing microphones. So am I a Hollywood Squares connection?
Yes, I would say that.
Did that once.
I would say that. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then you have a Hollywood Squares connection.
No, I don't think so.
Does that place smell like Bruce Valancher? What's going on there? Ugh, those booths. What are you going to say to Brian?
Who worked on who did voice work for the Star Trek video game, the MMO, yeah. Would you consider them to have a Star Trek connection?
I would.
Did you list them?
I would. Of course I would. If we're listing people like gaffers and key grips sometimes and, you know, people that were stuntmen or whatever, I don't see how they get any more connection than, you know, somebody in a video game. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Then I would say, you know, I mean, they didn't put on a uniform. They didn't appear on camera, but they had a connection to the Star Trek. And I think I'm going to side on the Genevieve Bugeaud has a Star Trek connection.
It's a complete. You got that, everybody?
Great ID.
Great ID is what that is. Good job. All right.
Oh, boy.
That's what Daryl's saying right now. All right, Daryl. We will agree to disagree. Let's get to your questions. Trivia question, Star Trek style. Here it is. Next Generation question. Hold on to your butts. Here we go. In the Next Generation episode, Darmok, both Captain Picard and Captain Dathon are transported to the surface of a planet. Riker tries to get Picard beamed back to the Enterprise. Data says it won't be possible because Dathon's ship is using a particle scattering field. They deployed this field into which part of the planet's atmosphere? And again, this is when the walls fell. You remember this episode, right?
It's Atmosphere Week in Star Trek trivia.
Oh, that'd be fun. They deployed this field in what part of the atmosphere? Was it A, stratosphere, B, the ionosphere, C, the mesosphere, or D, the thermosphere? And the reason I'm not struggling with these words is because I studied some of this stuff when I was in college. So take that, Matt. Take that, Mike, or Matt, or Mark. And better try next time. Better luck next time. I can't talk.
at least you got the answers.
Yeah, I got everything. I got the answers right, but I can't talk around them. Brilliant. It's like the energy I usually screw those up with shifted to the rest of my vernacular. Ooh, I dropped something. Anyway, Daryl, while you think about it, think on that. Where are we? What are we doing? We got food to eat. Here you go.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
All right, Schnago sent us. I've never had a Zot. You say these are common in Zots, I guess. Z-O-T-Z. Mm-hmm. And I think Zots. I've seen them or heard of them, but I've never actually had one. So for me, these are exotic. For you, they're commonplace.
Okay. Commonplace, right. So look there. This has got that same strange plural like the Maverick. Because one of these is still considered a Zots.
Okay.
So it's like Mavericks.
Oh, I got it. All right. Here we go. Hold on.
Cough drop.
Mavericks.
Big blue cough drop.
It's the new version of OS 10, Zots. Can't wait to get that installed. Get that beta. Let's open that up. All right. You've already eaten it. Jeez. You're faster than me. Hold on.
Well, it looks like it's going to take a while.
Oh, it looks like a cough drop.
Cough drop. Yeah.
What does it taste like? Oh, it's a lovely little treat.
Tastes like a cough drop.
Yeah, kind of. Okay, that's too sour for me to continue doing that with the show on. Woo! That sour
you didn't
to
even
you?
Get to the center.
I ain't doing that. I'll do it later, but I didn't expect that to be so sour. Holy crap. My face just caved in on itself. All right. Good stuff. Thank
Make sure you get to the center next on the next one you do.
I'll do it during the song, I think.
A surprise center. Okay, there you go.
Is it surprise as in you never know what it's going to be, or is it?
It'll be a surprise to you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm already
Do you know what it's going to be?
I don't know. I have no idea.
There you go. Then it's going to be a surprise to you.
I'm guessing it's the sourest thing ever, right?
No. Nope.
Pop rocks? Like poppy stuff?
Maybe.
Look at me guessing.
Spoiler.
All right. I can't wait to try it. Daryl, back to you. Mm-hmm. Let's do birthday. Anyone celebrating?
Oh, let's see who we have. We have... Oh, it's Joe Piscopo.
Shut up.
He's 62.
Oh, my gosh. How's he doing? I guess he had some trouble for a while there. Cancer or something. Wonder how he is.
Oh, he's alive. That's all I know.
We were talking about him yesterday. My brother-in-law and I were sitting around on the grass at my in-laws talking about, for Father's Day, talking about Star Trek, and somehow he came up, and I don't know what the deal was. Oh, I know what it was. My daughter and her cousin were talking like binars, and we were commenting that they were sitting in this corner just going, blah, 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 just saying stuff to each other, but it was nonsensical because they neither one was really listening to each other. They were just talking over each other. You know how girls are, whatever.
I thought they were going,
that would even be better. But instead, so he goes, they're like binars over there. And I go, oh, that's that episode with the minuet. And he goes, yeah, Joe Piscopo. And we just had this big, it was like this show. It was like our segment here. It was really weird. All right, well, happy birthday to him. And maybe we'll finally get
some
sequel.
Some pictures, he's looking good.
Is he looking all right? All right.
Yeah.
I don't hate Joe Piscopo.
No, no.
I feel like his career didn't.
Not funny.
Yeah, he's not funny. But he was
he does
on
a good
SNL.
Sinatra, though. Yeah, he does a good Sinatra. Yeah. He does a good his New Jersey guy. I'm from Jersey.
Yeah, he was good. I liked him as not Tom Brokaw. Who was the guy that used to do Night?
Ted Koppel.
Ted Koppel was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh man,
yeah.
His SNL days. Nothing wrong with any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. He complimented everyone he worked with really well. I think he was great. There's something about all that that didn't translate to another career for him, but whatever. I've seen Celebrity Poker or whatever that is. What's that called that we talked about last week?
The video game. Oh my gosh.
Best thing ever. All right, Daryl, back to the question. Stratosphere, ionosphere, mesosphere, or thermosphere? Which one of those spheres, part of the atmosphere, did Data shoot his unit into?
What'd he do?
I don't know. I couldn't. Everyone remember a Data ship scattering field. Particle Data's particle scattering field. That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
Too bad he didn't fire the cat in there. Freaking cat.
Yeah.
That cat.
I will say, it seems like anything they ever do is always the ionosphere. It's like there's no other part of the atmosphere on Star Trek.
Yeah. They do seem to reference that quite a bit, don't they?
Yeah. So I guess I have to choose that.
All right, ionosphere. One of these days we need to have a big conversation about... Daryl and I had kind of a back and forth on text a week ago or something about whether or not, like, the doctor on Voyager is like a person. He's kind of irritable. You know, he's not like a robot. He's a holographic projection. And to me, that makes perfect sense. If you believe the lore of the holodeck and the way that works, all of the holodeck characters behave in similar ways. They're emotional. Their way they've been programmed is how their personalities come across. But Daryl's point is, well, then why is Data so rudimentary compared to that? Like, why doesn't Data have all of these other nuances that, say, the doctor has? One's a projection, one's an actual physical being. The physical being should have at least as good a programming there than the holodeck. Yeah. And it's actually a pretty damn good point. Like,
yeah,
it's
a valid point, yeah.
Yeah, like they kind of screwed themselves a little bit.
He's supposed to be the most advanced android ever made, and yet he's behind the holodeck.
Yeah, the holodeck's got him whooped, and it seems like it wouldn't be that hard to get the holodeck AI anyway. Working in Data, it would be fun to talk about more. I think it's an interesting conversation. If you're a nerd like us and you want to talk more about that, we won't bore you with it here. All right, Daryl, you say ionosphere. Let's see what the judges say.
Congratulations!
Too easy.
You're a winner.
Scattering field is the planet's ionosphere. Bat, 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 making it impossible for either ship to transport the captains back to their ships. Here's a clip of Darthon and his first officer arguing.
Shaka, when the walls fell. Darmok. Darmok. Rai and Jiri at Lunga. Shaka, when the walls fell. Sina at Anzo. Sina and Baka. Darmok at Tanagra. Shaka, Virab, his sails unfurled. Darmok. Mirab. Tamok. The river. Tamok.
All right, the problem is with those people, you wouldn't get shit done. Pardon my French. Like, you got ships, big complicated starships, and you got home planets to worry about, and a big, crazy species and evolution and science and everything else you have to deal with. Those are not enough words. I don't buy it.
If you, If you have an itch, it's going to take you an hour to explain that.
Right. Where's your itch? You can't even ask that. It's like,
right.
Yeah. When the walls fell. The river something something. Okay, well, never going to scratch your itch then. Never going to know where your size underwear is at the Kmart. Like, you're just screwed. I like the episode, and I get what they're doing, but they don't think those things through sometimes. Mm. All right, Daryl, congratulations. You've done it. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He is the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can listen to him on a fantastic weekly podcast about Star Trek called This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Daryl, give us a quote of some sort, please.
Okay. It is this. Captain, a starship also runs on loyalty to one man, and nothing can replace it or him.
Whoa.
I'm going to say Guinan.
That's a pretty good guess. Troy.
It's Spock.
Damn Spock. Freaking
it's always Spock.
Damn your Vulcan ears. It's the news.
Spock is like B, always guess B. Maniacal Industries is proud to announce our first charity t-shirt is now available. Be a superhero. Fight cancer. $5 per shirt goes to charity, and only 200 will be printed, and pre-orders end on June 30th. Head over to maniacalindustries.com right now. Derp.
Fantastic. Derek Acora. He's a psychic, okay?
Derek Acora.
Those guys apparently are supposed to be able to, you know.
Derek Acora.
Predict the future and stuff. Derek Acora.
Right. Derek Acora.
I like that. He cancels his show, new TV show, due to unforeseen circumstances, unquote.
Nice.
Derek Acora, a psychic who gained notoriety for his work on the TV show Most Haunted, has to cancel a June 8th show in Scotland due to unforeseen circumstances. According to his website, 63-year-old Englishman specializes in communicating with the dead as a medium. His skills apparently do not extend to seeing his own future. Acora's agent, Brian Shaw, said the language on the cancellation notice had been written by officials of the venue, not by himself, according to the UPI, so the irony probably is, accidental.
Yeah, misdirected, sure.
Quote, why the theater used the words unforeseen circumstances, I don't know, Shaw said. You couldn't make it up. It's an old music hall joke. It made more sense to push back the performance due to other upcoming dates on Derek's tour and for personal reasons. And also, psychics are full of crap. Can I just...
I'm sensing letter C. Anything with the C? Cancellation? Is there somebody who's getting canceled?
Can I buy a vowel? Okay. O? Is there an O? Every time anybody does any of this stuff, I just kind of roll my eyes and go, are we still doing this? Is this still a thing we're doing? You're still buying this snake oil, everybody? Still believe this crap?
There are people out there who do.
And they do. I'm not judging you, but if you want to send me an email and explain yourselves, fine. But
explain. You know, what is there to explain? It's absolutely one of these things that there is no concrete proof of, and it's a faith kind of thing, I believe that there's that spirit. I believe that, you know, he can communicate, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
And be able to communicate with the spirit world and get that foresee the future.
Yeah.
But, whatever.
Utter hokum.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
I'll believe it. As soon as somebody provides proof, I'm all over it.
Yeah,
I'm open-minded.
All up into this. Yeah. Yeah, you are. It's fine. Look, if you show up to Brian's house and you say, I'm going to make your left nipple disappear and show up somewhere in Zimbabwe, and you do it, then Brian will believe you. Right? Left nipple gone. Zimbabwe has a new nipple.
Oh.
Poof.
All right.
Whoa.
You know what?
I'm in.
I'm there.
Yep.
I'm all over it.
I'm all in. Check it out. Florida people. A skunk ape has been sighted in the Macaque, Florida. In Macaque, Florida. Mayaca, Florida.
Mayaca. I've never heard of Mayaca, Florida.
I haven't either. Nor have I ever said it right until you just corrected me. skunk ape, also known as, it's your Sasquatch, your Bigfoot.
Your Bigfoot, yeah.
I think skunk ape is a depressing way of saying it.
I love skunk ape.
It's terrible.
It's like so, it just comes across as so backwoodsy, like, big old skunk ape came while I was sitting on my porch of my double wide eating some pork rinds. Yeah. And
you see that snake horse? That's a hell of a snake horse.
Right.
He's combined two animal names. A Florida man, thinks he has spotted an elusive skunk ape on camera, and by elusive, we mean probably non-existent. But now his poor quality photo shoots and video have sparked a heated debate. Don't they always, and aren't they always poor quality? again, Brian, I would argue,
yeah,
stuff's bullcrap, and you ought to probably.
Lord, a man not able to take a clear picture to save his life, Excelsior!
I don't look. I don't mind. I love the idea of it. Right, I'm into that. Sure. Like sure. This cryptozoology. What is it called? Cryptozoology. There you go. I'm into that. I think that stuff's great, and I find it fascinating and interesting. And back when Justin Robert Young would come on and talk specifically about those kinds of things, yeah. I used to just I really get into it. I love movies about it and documentaries and all that stuff. I'm all in for the entertainment end of it. But there ain't no Bigfoot walking around out there. And if your videos and your photos, we live in a time in 2013. Where your photos and videos should not be crappy.
Right.
You're not running around with an 8mm thing on your back anymore trying to get good shots, all right? You have a phone capable of getting excellent shots of said skunk ape. I'm not buying this anymore. They can't all be blurry anymore. This isn't the 40s. And the somebody seeing something sticking out of the water at Loch Ness. It doesn't work that way now.
Right, right.
So quit doing
You have the technology to do something a little bit better.
Right.
I'm pulling up the video footage. There's a lot of cruft before it.
Of course.
While driving, my son and I saw something walking off in the distance. Okay, here we go. So here's the actual video.
I hooked up my camera and said, Bobby.
What the hell?
Boo!
That's if Hank Hill saw Bigfoot.
Right.
He'd just go, boo!
Boo! I saw some propane accessories out in the field. Dale?
Hold on, I'm looking. I'm trying to get the video to come up.
At this point, several other cars started pulling over and taking pictures. You knew you were looking at something. And then they just keep showing the same.
All right, so there, here it
is. I see nothing. I see footage of a tree.
I'm going to keep cutting it off. There's a tree.
Oh my God, there's all these people all pulled over.
Yeah. Oh, so everyone's looking at it?
Yeah, but I don't see what they're looking at. I see a.
Two of them.
All right.
I can't even see one of them.
Listen, we got a family reunion going. I thought it'd be fun if we did a joke on the internet. So if we could all just get in the cars and come down here to this road and pretend there's something out in the field.
I know.
That'd be a hell of an idea.
I'm looking at this video. I swear I don't see.
Yeah, what are we looking at, guys?
We need like the little arrow to point to.
Okay, that's a dude. Okay, go to about 220, 211.
Okay.
That's a dude walking around in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Okay, so that ain't no skunk ape. Okay, now they're going back and showing still images of where it is and where he's walking. Oh, right. Whatever. This is bullshmite.
Yeah. Well, at least the video quality is clear. It's just like really far away. This is where I stop the video on my phone, take the actual pictures you're about to see. Mm-hmm. Pictures are taken from my iPhone 4S.
Yeah, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Oh, that brown smudge is a skunk ape. Of course it is.
Yeah, a little turd on your screen. Ugh, whatever.
Wow.
All right. This makes me mad for some reason. I don't know why. Hey, tweakedaudio.com is sponsoring the show. Use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off your next fantastic pair of earbuds. Quality earbuds, quality sound, engineered for durability, noise reduction, and compatible with all your devices. Lifetime warranty on everything. Check them out at tweakedaudio.com using that code, which again is, what is it? STREAM.
STREAM.
I've been only doing this every day for the last 300 days. STREAM, everybody.
Get them, man. They're great. Great earbuds.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by
Nerdy Knots. That's with a K on both of those words. It's an Etsy store where you can find all manner of things made with paracord, such as dog leashes, collars, also bracelets, lanyards, many other things. Everything we make is made with 550 paracord and is handmade to last. We have started our store to help pay for our wedding, and we dearly appreciate your business. Visit our store at tinyurl.com/nerdynots. That's KNERDYKNOTS. And facebook.com/nerdynots, also with those K's.
Yeah, Nerdy Knots, my favorite Saturday morning cartoon in the 1980s. Chewbacca actor's lightsaber cane causes TSA trouble.
Oh.
Peter Mayhew
Yes.
Listen to this.
It's
dumb
just
line.
He was just here in Denver Comic Con. Yep. As a matter of fact,
TSA appears to have met its match with a certain iconic Wookiee. Oh, see, there you go. Yeah. Peter Mayhew, the actor who portrayed Chewbacca in all the Star Wars films, apparently took issue with airport security when they spotted his lightsaber-styled cane. Mayhew documented his frustration and vindication on Twitter, writing that the TSA won't allow me through the airport with me cane. They won't allow me through the airport with me cane. He is a big dude. Have you seen pictures of him?
He is huge. Look at him next to Harrison Ford in that photo.
Unbelievable. I've heard that... It's actually kind of...
He almost stepped on me at Dragon Con a couple years ago.
Did he?
Yeah, I was sitting there with Nicole Spagnuolo. We're sitting on the floor in front of the Twit booth just because there weren't enough seats. So we're sitting there on the floor and Peter Mayhew comes by and nearly steps on us.
Yeah.
With his cane.
Says after he tweeted it, they gave it back. The actor is flying home from Denver to Comic-Con. There
you
go.
Oh, well, there we go. So, hey, terrific.
Yep. Let's see. The actor also retweeted an astronomer noted sage advice from Han Solo in the tough situations. Just learned Star Wars lesson number one: let the Wookiee win. Anyway, he has to have that cane because he's got like a condition. It's it's part of what makes him so tall. It's I read about this somewhere.
Right.
Well, how old is he now? He's got to be 70 something. Anyway,
I'm surprised it doesn't say in this article. Usually. That's one of the first things they throw out, one of the first details.
Mayhew, age 71, like that.
Right.
They didn't do it.
That is a sweet cane, though.
Oh, I would love it. Can you imagine?
Is it transparent or is it just, it looks like it's transparent.
It's a little translucent, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Like the people of Finland. Raphael. Medina Brochero, selling his testicles for $20,000.
No. Okay,
this isn't celebrity poop because he's a celebrity in Colombia. A poet in Colombia wants to go to Europe so much that he's willing to fund the trip in a very ballsy way. Selling his testicles.
Sex starter.
Yeah. There you go. Perfect. Age 52 is how old this guy is. Selling the matching set of semen-producing genitalia. Really? They had to describe that in such a manner? Anyway. For the lump sum of 20 grand.
Lump.
fund a European tour in which he'll participate in Poetry for Peace in Colombia, according to ColombiaReports.com. Brochero did not say whether the surgery would be covered by in the $20,000, but said the presumably used testes might be able to be transplanted into a sterile person. Right? Sterile, yeah.
Sterile.
That's, for some reason, that sounded opposite in my head, but I know it's not. Anyway, or used to make soup, according to Yahoo Australia.
Colombian poet testicle soup. It's a delicacy.
Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to be...
Would you want to sell them, or why would you want to buy them?
Why would you want to get rid of them? Like, why would you want the surgery to remove them? Like, why would that be...
You really want to go to Europe.
Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, I can't wait to go to France, but I can't get there unless I sell my nuts.
I think it's how much has he made so far? A lot in the publicity, just by talking about doing this.
And he can pull out last minute and say, you know what?
Exactly.
I'm not doing this now.
Right, exactly.
I'm keeping me nuts, he'll say.
Right. Just thought of something controversial. He decided to talk about it. He had no intention of doing it, but the fact that he's... talking about is garnering him some great publicity for his poetry or whatever, and there you go.
Well, he said this, it might be a desperate way to raise money, but this guy says, or sees it as an additional, sees it as addition by subtraction. The poet simply does not want to repeat the experience he had while touring Bolivia last year when he ran out of cash and had to pawn his wedding ring.
Mm.
Yeah, because that's similar. quote, there is no real value for any body part. It was it's what gets negotiated like a used car. Gross. Good luck to you, buddy.
So when he pawned his wedding ring, basically he lost him at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Good point. Maybe they're not even there. She took him with him.
That's what I'm saying.
That's it. For celebrity poop. Let's take a break. When we come back, Steven Schleicher will be here at the top of the hour, and we got to get him in early because he's got a meeting, so we're going to try to hit him fast and hard. Awesome. After that, I think Sarah and Kim may be by, so we'll see how that all goes.
Hey.
In the meantime, Brian Ibbett has a song for us.
Yeah, this one going out to Todd Shank. Hello, Scott and Brian. Sunday, June 16th is / was my wife's birthday, and I would like to request a song played in honor of that. Mm. While I was the first to introduce her to your podcast, starting with The Instance, she is the one that has listened to TMS regularly. And he requests a song by David Gray and says, "To the love of my life, happy birthday, Jenny. Regards, Todd Shank."
Okay.
Short and sweet and easy. Well, you know, we like playing the covers on here, so I'm throwing in a David Gray cover. He actually put out a cover album. It was like a collection of B-sides and things he'd recorded for other reasons back in 2007 called 1,000 Miles Behind.
Okay.
A lot of live stuff on there and some stuff he recorded in radio studios and stuff like that. Here is his cover of Bob Dylan's Buckets of Rain. And hope Jenny and Jenny and Todd, enjoy this.
Oh, very nice. Jenny and Todd, I hope you do as well. When we come back, all that stuff I said and more, hang in there.
Buckets of rain, buckets of tears. Got all them buckets coming out of my ears. Buckets of moonbeams in my head. You got all the love, honey, baby, I can stand. Like your smile and your fingertips. I like the way that you move your hips. I like the way you love me strong and slow. I'm taking you with me, honey, baby, when I go. A little red wagon, a little red bike. I ain't no monkey, but I know what I like. I like the cool way you look at me. Everything about you is bringing me misery. Life is sad, life is a bust. All you can do is do what you must. You do what you must do, and you do it well. I do it for you, honey, baby, can't you tell? I've been meek, been hard like an oak. I've seen pretty people disappear like smoke. Friends will arrive, friends will disappear. But if you want me, well, honey, baby, I'll be here. And buckets of rain, buckets of tears. Got all them buckets coming out of my ears. Buckets of moonbeams in my head. You got all the love, honey, baby, I can stand. You got all the love, honey, baby, I can stand. You got all the love, honey, baby, I can stand.
Yes, kids, get the power of pure protein with delicious Borden's Cottage Cheese.
Hey, yeah! Borden's Cottage Cheese. Ask Mom to get some today.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. Buy Borden's today.
I like it in a sandwich with strawberry jam.
The Morning Stream. When there...
I love his bloopers. Reboot, Scott Fletcher. Heard from him yesterday. So excited to see him in a couple of weeks.
Oh, me too.
In 2011, it was a big surprise that he was coming.
I was going to say, we can't do the surprise thing anymore with him because people now expect him to be there.
He's a regular. If he wasn't there, I couldn't tell you how sad I'd be.
I know. I need him. I want to work him into Fright Pants All-Stars a little bit more, too.
Oh, great. He's willing to do whatever. He's going to have that mic in hand. Probably wear a tie again.
Probably. Put us all to shame.
Yeah. Love me some Fletcher. Mm-hmm. All right. What are we doing here? Oh, yeah. Let's call Steven.
Yeah.
Get him in early. Quick and early. Steven Schleicher. I also have a little theme for Steven now. Check this out. Hold on. It's not much of one, but I kind of like it. Here we go. Here's Steven's theme, everybody. Right here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Major Spoiler Zone. Steven Schleicher. Hello, Steven.
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Steven.
How you doing, man?
Hey, it's good. It's a good Monday.
It's a post-Superman Monday. Now, for those listening...
Spoilers. Come back in 15 minutes. Spoilers.
Here's the truth. I've been of the opinion for a while that really not much you can spoil about Superman because we kind of know everything we're kind of supposed to know. We are going to talk about it a little bit here. I don't think we're going to get in too much territory, but if we do... then those listening who don't want to hear about that movie, probably, go do something else.
Well, see, now I'm on the fence because I haven't seen it yet.
We're not, there's nothing to spoil.
Okay. Not really.
Don't you agree, Steven? I mean, it's kind of just, it is what it is.
Brian, what are a couple of ways you could defeat Zod?
You rip the S off of your chest, throw it at him, and it wraps him in some clear red cellophane.
That would be really stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really stupid. Let's not forget. Back in the
day.
Put
him into a magic mirror that floats around through the negative zone. Yeah. Not the negative zone.
Okay, well, he's pretty far away from that to happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's not going to stop killing people.
Right.
All right. I guess I can't imagine anything you could spoil at this point.
Yeah, at this point, it's hard to spoil. But, Steven, you saw it with your son, yeah?
Yeah. I decided it was real kind of touch and go because I kind of knew how the movie ended. And I was, you know, my son is just about six. He turned six this Friday. But I thought this would be a great movie for him to see, his very first Superman movie that he gets to see in a theater and all these things. And I was hoping that he would really get a kick out of it and take something away from it. And, you know, for what it is, I enjoyed the film. My son really, really liked the film because not 5 minutes outside of the theater, he's like, man, I wish we could go see Man of Steel again.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
Impact complete then on the children for a day.
So, and... you know, when you think about the target audience, this movie isn't targeted towards us. I mean, it's not for old people.
No,
right?
No, it's
it
not.
It is really geared towards the 13-year-old kid and kids that get off on action and those kinds of things. Because it's a Zack Snyder film packed with action, mm-hmm. packed with some good emotional moments, too, I think. I think cinematography was done well. I think Henry Cavill does a great job as Superman. Mm-hmm. Not so thrilled on the Lois Lane, but,
surprised on that because, Amy Adams is usually... you know, you can kind of count on her to put in great performances and stuff. And I thought she was real flat in this. Just bullshit.
Yeah. I thought so, too. Now, Kevin Costner, fantastic as Jonathan Kent.
Yeah, really good.
And I think, some of the moral questions, and this is the thing that this movie has really set off a fire online about people who just hate the movie and people who just love the movie.
Yeah, real split right down the middle. And Rotten Tomatoes reflects it. It's like 50-50.
Yeah, 58%, 57%, something like that is mm-hmm. where it was at on Friday when we went into the theaters. You know, I think there's a good justification for a lot of things. I kind of thought about this, and to kind of borrow that Batman phrase, this isn't the Superman movie a lot of us wanted, mm-hmm. but it's the Superman movie that we needed. And the reason why I say that is because without people getting excited about this film, without people saying, hey, this is better than Superman Returns, this film is what's going to create a second Superman movie. It is what's going to kick off the Justice League franchise. And, early reports are that they've already greenlit and are fast-tracking the next Man of Steel movie mm-hmm. To come out in 2014, and that we probably will see a Justice League movie by 2015.
Yeah, so that wouldn't surprise me.
So
that sounds about right.
If we want to see a Justice League movie, if we want to see Wonder Woman, if we want to see The Flash, if we want to... whoever out there wants to see Aquaman.
I want to see Cyborg. Forget Aquaman. Put Cyborg
in there. A lot of people clamoring for that elusive Aquaman movie.
Right. This movie has to be successful. And $125 million in the opening weekend is right on track for what Warner Brothers projected. you know, just to break even, it's going to have to hit a half a billion. Now, Iron Man 3 did much better than Man of Steel. And so I'm curious as to if it will hit that $500 million mark.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Or even $1 billion mark.
Well, because there's I would question its ability to drop those second goers back.
It might. For those people that really loved it. I think next week we're going to see about a 30 to 40% drop in box office.
Yeah.
And so that'll still put it in the $75 million range. And if it can maintain above $50 million for 10 weeks for each week that it's out, I think it'll do fine.
And
not counting the international box office.
Yeah, and a lot of people online or some of my Twitter followers have wondered what my opinion on the movie is, and I'm going to probably express it over a number of different shows, and certainly on Comic Dorks we'll talk about this.
Scott Kurtz was really irate about it.
Yeah, he was really disappointed. It's weird. I used to steal from what you said earlier. I felt like it's not the Superman movie I wanted, but I'm weirdly glad I got what I got instead, because I wasn't force fed the same thing again.
Right.
It wasn't the same exact thing that we all know and have seen a million times, and they changed some things up and they fed me a movie that was just different enough. And it felt like, this is how it felt to me. I felt like I was like DC, like in the comic sense, it was like DC was doing a one-off Vertigo thing. It's like they said, all right, well, here's a slightly different vision of Batman done by some people who haven't written it or drawn it before, and let's just see how that does as a one-off. It's a little harsher, it's a little darker, it's a little whatever, but it's a different take on the thing you think you already know, which comic books do all the time.
Right.
You just don't see in the movies. They always feel like they have to be so true to every little, most important little piece of source material. And they didn't do that here. And because of that, I came in with the weirdest feeling of it not being the movie I wanted, but also kind of glad that it didn't just give me what I wanted.
Yeah, because we've already seen Donner's take on this. We don't need to see another version of Donner's take on Superman.
Right.
You know, the big climax, people are so irate, including Mark Waid, who I have a lot of respect for and respect his opinion and his passion for why he stood up in the middle of the theater at that climactic moment and said, that's it, I'm done, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can understand his approach to that because Superman doesn't do X. Well, you know, there have been times in the past when Superman has done X during John Byrne's run of Superman in the 80s, 87 issue number 22. He does X to a bunch of Kryptonians.
Right.
In All-Star Superman, he does
he
X.
He does X?
He does X.
He does X.
Yeah.
Yes, and he lays back and says,
H.
Yeah. You know,
really, really thirsty.
Even in What Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, this event happens. And so people are like, well, this never happens. Well, even if it's only happened one or two times, it does leave open the door of possibility for this event to happen again. And in this interpretation, people are very much like, oh, this Superman is very dark. Mm-hmm. I don't think Superman is dark. I think the situations he's put in is very dark.
Yeah.
And he has to respond in his very first fight the way that somebody might have to and who's been told for years that he has to hold back and not do anything.
Yeah, no, that was an interesting contrast, I thought. And also, you've got to the comic always deals with this idea that yes, Superman is always aiming for right and good and justice and all this.
Right.
Sometimes it involves creatures from other planets and them destroying half a block of town trying to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And this,
yeah,
this movie's not afraid to do that either. But that's what happens.
Well, and again, go back and look at the Justice League animated series where Superman and Darkseid fight. And this is a problem that I've had a long time, and I've brought it up again and again and again. Here's Darkseid and Superman just throwing each other through buildings and smashing through buildings. And when you see things happening in Hulk and he's tearing down buildings, it's like, what about all those people in the buildings? What's happening to them? Yeah, of course people are going to die in this kind of a situation.
Yeah, it's the collateral damage thing that you don't think about that often, but there were many, many people who died in the destruction caused by both the Invaders and the Avengers in the Avengers. There's just no way around it.
Yeah.
You don't talk about it. You don't show it. This movie didn't either. This movie didn't get all into that. There's just a lot of there's a lot of assuming, and there's a lot of cars coming down and landing on, you know, what used to be people.
Right. And in the Avengers, we did see some chunks of building coming down. We didn't see entire blocks being decimated with buildings falling. That, I think, is what shook people up the most in this movie.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's something real fascinating that I watched while I was watching this with my son. They only mentioned Superman twice, and it was by the same actor, or actually three times, where they're like, Sir Superman's on his way, and the military guy says, Superman. He goes, yeah, that's what they're calling him, Superman.
Hmm.
You know what? take out the three uses of the word Superman, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any reference to Superman in this movie.
Yeah.
He is just simply the Man of Steel. That's why the name of the movie isn't Superman, the Man of Steel. It's just Man of Steel.
Right.
And then instead of the ending that they used, you know, there's a lot of great moments, again, in the animated series and Justice League where Superman, you know, flies to the top of the Daily Planet and has conversations with Lois Lane about what happened.
Yeah.
If they would have done that in here, I think a lot of people would have taken the climax part of this movie and had a justification for it.
Mm.
But maybe that's what the sequel is going to go into.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I'm of two minds of it on it, but I didn't feel like I was ripped off or horribly disappointed.
No.
I just felt like I got something different than maybe a different bill of goods. And I'm not really resentful about that. It just is that way. And
right.
And I was okay with it. I liked how it was crafted. I thought it looked good. And again, Kevin Costner, if I only had one complaint, it's just not enough of him. Like, I could have used more of that side of things. And that would have made me a little bit happier, because I think that whole relationship, that sort of Earth father son relationship thing, I think is something you could expound upon. And hopefully, and they still can. Like, in sequels,
sure,
they can refer back
There's
to it.
There's a lot of flashbacks.
Sure.
Yeah.
So all of that stuff, you know, bodes well. But I'm more happy that they're doing well financially, because you're right. It means we're going to get more of this stuff. And on the DC side, which you know, I like it or hate it, it's good for comic book fans. So
it is. And so I would give this a B+ as a movie. You know, it's good. It's not great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's enjoyable. And it's certainly giving us a different take on the character.
Yeah. Did anyone else, just real brief note, this is not a spoiler at all, but I think Zod, played by Michael Shannon.
Oh, my goodness.
Looks like David Letterman in his 30s. Just look at a picture and you'd be like, oh, yeah, there's Letterman running around blowing stuff up.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's pretty cool. And the rumors are swirling, right? Like, you mentioned some of them, but
There's
a lot of stuff.
By 2014, I think we're going to see some by Christmas.
There's some weird hints in the movie itself, and the trailers, too. Like, there was references to LexCorp on stuff, and there was a Cyborg reference. And, oh, by the way, major West Wing cameo, Brian, in this movie.
Really?
Major. Toby Ziegler all over this business, which made me really happy to see him. But anyway, there's lots of little hints and little nods and things that make you think that they're definitely going someplace with it. We got to the end of the movie, or when the credits started rolling, and a guy behind us. So everyone's sitting there. No one's moving. And the movie got cheers in my theater, by the way.
Didn't in mine. We had a low attendance, and I was really surprised. There were only probably 20 people in the theater, and that included a lot of really little kids. I thought my son was going to be the youngest, and there was a couple of 2 or 3 year olds.
Oh, weird. So, well, this place was, ours was packed, and it was a big IMAX theater. And anyway, guy behind us goes, "There isn't anything after the credits."
Yeah.
And so we all just got up and left. But
I like that.
Yeah.
I usually I'm the guy who like pulls out his phone during the beginning of the credits and looks at moviestinger.com to see if there's anything after the credits.
Yeah, there definitely I guess in
the UK they ran after the credits, and this was only in a select theaters. Maybe one of the Tadpool people can confirm this, but they ran a 6-minute preview of The Lone Ranger in the UK. But
weird.
That's a Disney movie, so that's really weird why they would pair that up with this. So I don't know if that is true or not.
Also, after the movie, that's weird.
Yeah, that's the weird part, right?
I mean, they do everything backwards over there. They're like Japan with their magazine, just start in the back and work your way forward.
You had mentioned a lot of references. There are a lot of homages to Smallville in this movie as well. And some people early on in the film were like, oh, well, Superman would never do that. And it's like, well, he did do that in Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
He did the exact same thing in Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reference to Chloe Sullivan, the Sullivan's garage that's in there, and some other things. So they're really taking bits and pieces from the entirety of the 75 years of Superman. Thank goodness we didn't see any mole people. But you know, they are taking little bits and pieces and working it together. And I'll be the first to say that I'm not a huge fan of David Goyer in everything that he's done, because he has a lot more, I think, misses than hits.
Yeah.
But I think he did okay here.
Yeah, I think it was all right. If I had a prediction to make, it'll be like Batman, where they recast what's her name. I think Lois Lane gets recast.
Lois Lane as somebody else.
Yeah, which is too bad, because I think Amy Adams is great, and I don't know what happened here. Something just off with her and the whole thing. But there's one last thing I was going to say about that, and I don't remember what it was. Oh. No, that isn't it. Never mind. I don't know what it was. It was something amazing, I'm sure. Stephen, majorspoilers.com is where people can learn all about these rumors. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah,
there's
some of that going on that we're putting up there. And, of course, there's a huge lot of discussion, both for and against, that one thing that happens that has everybody up in arms.
Yeah.
And I would really encourage people, after they see the movie, to go read Mark Waid's reaction to The Man of Steel. It's over at thrillbent.com. That's where he's doing his digital comics initiative, mm-hmm. thrillbent.com, and read his long interaction. And there's even in the comment section, people are saying that he's crazy, and some people support him on that. So
yeah.
This is a very polarizing film, and I think it will be for years to come. But if that means we get to see a Flash movie and a Justice League movie and all these things down the road, I'm willing to forgo these little things for the bigger picture.
Yeah, I am as well. And, you know, again, what we want here, everyone, is financially successful DC Comics properties so that we can mm-hmm. get more of this and get some cool offshoots and stuff, you know?
Yeah, because if this movie had flopped, that would have been the end of it.
Yeah, that would have been it. Oh, yeah, dude. If this had gone the way of Returns, we'd all be in trouble right now.
Yeah.
Third time's a charm, and if they don't get it right, that's like, nope, we're done, we're out. We're not doing this
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you know what? Some people, I think, may be confusing that ultimate rule, this X we keep talking about.
Yeah.
That's more a Batman thing. I mean, it's a very hardcore Batman thing, if you know what I'm saying. Like, that's
right. Superman doesn't do this, but there are instances of him doing this.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about teabagging Zod. If that's what you think the big spoiler is, Brian, he does not teabag Zod.
I'm crossing that off. Actually, I was writing a tweet saying, I can't believe Steven spoiled the
There is one other. I just remember the thing I was going to tell you, Steven, and I'll just drop. This isn't a bad. This is, again, no spoiler here, but the reference. Great references, like you said, to all the incarnations of Superman. One of my favorites was a thinly veiled reference to the Donner film, the second one, Superman 2, which featured Zod and his two buddies, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Everyone who's seen the trailer, they just assume the girl is kind of an analog for the girl in the evil girl in the second one. Ursula, whatever her name
Ursa.
Was. Is it Ursa? Yeah.
It's Feyora in this movie.
But everyone's like, well, where's the big dumb mute guy from... He was kind of there.
In the Battle of Smallville, when Feyora and Superman start to fight, there is a big hulking guy in
who never says
the costume
anything.
That never says anything. And we never see his face.
And they fight, and he fights alongside with her. You don't see his face. There's no reference. It's not overt. But the minute I saw that going down, I'm like, I think they're just giving this a nod.
Wasn't
his name Nod or something?
Non,
that was it.
Non, yeah.
All right, no plastic logo.
None.
Anyway, all right. Well, Steven, it's always a pleasure. Majorspoilers.com, Major Spoilers on Twitter. Oh, geez, Comic Dorks. Comics Coast. That's Brian Dunaway. What am I trying to say? The Major Spoilers podcast.
The word comics in it probably Steven Schleicher.
Critical Hit. So many shows. So much cool stuff. Yeah. Anything else we should mention?
Munchkin Land, Zach on Film, all the good stuff over at Major Spoilers.
Yep, go check him out. Support him. He's awesome.
Spoilers are now off, people.
And you can shake Steven's hand in approximately no time before Nerdtacular. So looking forward to seeing you guys there, man. We'll talk to you later.
Feel free to move about the podcast.
Yes, feel free.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye. All right. There we go.
I think it might take Tristan to see that some afternoon this week. Like,
I think
take
it's very worth
of,
seeing.
Yeah.
Even I would love to know your opinion after all this talk and you forming your own opinion and just see what you think. I mean there were times I was prepared to be mad about what I was seeing, but then there were other times I was like, well, no, this is all right. This is different.
Interesting. No, I can't wait. I'm really curious as to what the thing is that you guys are not talking about.
Yeah,
so
I mean, basically,
I honestly don't know.
The accusation is that, and having Nolan on board as executive producer and co-writer, just darkened it up Batman style.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue that Superman, I wish the movie could use a little bit of that, yes. Because my mm-hmm. favorite Superman arcs in the comic books are when things get a little dark for him, when things are hard, when he's just not impervious to everything.
Right.
That's when he starts to shine. And so they definitely injected some of that. There wasn't a lot of joy in this movie. And that's been a big complaint, is people are like, well, there's no joy in it. Well, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's 2 hours. It's fine, guys. Just go see it. Enjoy it. See what you think. Right, cool. So tell me what you think when you see it.
Will do.
I'm sure you'll shut up and never say anything about it again. I'm sure you'll come on the show and never say a word that you said.
I won't even mention. I won't even bring it up.
Yeah. Like I would ever. It's a dumb thing for me to even say. Oh, I'm looking at thrillbent.com, and there it is. Man of Steel, since you asked. All right. I'll read that later. Okay.
Geek food? Geek food? Geek
food? Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's see if they're online. I don't
know. Did you eat your Zots, by the way, during that music break?
They, no, I forgot.
Oh, I even texted you to remind you.
Did you? Oh, crap. Was that when my crotch was buzzing? Hold on.
Well, one of the reasons.
One of the reasons. Oh, okay. Kim's, I just got a text from Kim. She's stuck somewhere, so they're not on.
Oh.
They're stuck at some, her and her sister are stuck somewhere. All right. Well, no big deal. We'll get them next week.
Okay.
Next week. Okay. Emails then. Let's do emails.
Yes.
Emails brought to you by.
Oh, I scroll up then. If we're not doing that, then we're doing this. Yeah. Emails are brought to you by The Instance, the World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. Airing weekly on the Frog Pants Network, subscribe at theinstance.net today.
Hey, Seska and B'Elanna.
B'Elanna. Are those the Klingon twins?
I think so.
The Klingon sisters?
I think so. The ones with the boobs? Yep. The little boobs sticking out.
Yes.
I am too watching Voyager from season one, though I have never watched the series before. I admit some geek shame for that. OMG, Janeway's bun is ridiculous. Well, yeah, it is. It's because she had a lot of hair that first season. Mm-hmm. Tons of hair. I don't think she wanted to get rid of it. I wouldn't blame her.
People are saying no. All the Klingon sisters.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, fine. Okay.
Jeez. Good goodness. I wanted to see if Scott has gotten to the episode Emanations yet in season one. It really showed how good the show can be. It was a really well-written episode with a lot of thought-provoking questions raised. If you've seen it, if love to hear your take on it. I think you'd like to hear it. I did just recently, and it's awesome. It was really good. Surprised how much I liked that episode. And I just am now finishing season one. Again, doing it during my workouts and enjoying the hell out of it.
Then you probably should have known that B'Elanna is the chief engineer.
No, I knew that. But who's the other one? B'Tor, right?
Seska is apparently the Cardassian spy.
Oh.
Cardassian spy.
But who's B'Tor is one of the ladies that we're thinking of. I forget their names. I know who B'Elanna is, yeah. B'Elanna Torres. Okay. She's the...
All right.
She's the ship's engineer, half Klingon, half human.
People, I have not watched Voyager since original air date, okay?
Scott is watching him currently. When Brian was first disappointed is the last time he saw it, okay?
Lursa and B'Tor.
Lursa and B'Tor, right. Yes. Kodos and Kang, got it. he says this, and Enterprise is a better show than most people give it credit for. It's among my favorite Star Trek series. It captures the explorative spirit of TOS. And I really find the characters compelling. It's got its weaknesses, but so do all the series in their own way. Honestly, the main weakness I have with Enterprise is, one, they didn't give it enough time. Four seasons is not enough. And two, that theme song is terrible. Those are my only problems with that show. I like it otherwise.
We watched the first three seasons and I loved it. Yeah, I guess really we stopped just in time because I hear the fourth season was a little rougher.
Some people like four, but I think four is a little bit rough. Four felt like season seven of... Most of season seven generation. Of TNG, yeah. It's just trouble when you're going out, you know. Love the show, though, he says. One more email from Eric. Sorry, is it two more or one? Nope, two more. One more. This one from Eric Von Royer.
Okay.
Eric Von Royer. Okay. Dear Superman and Batman.
Wow, appropriate.
Yep. With all this talk, meanwhile, at the Mailbag Mondays... with all this talk about avoiding spoilers, it got me thinking, I was just talking about that, and looking at what we've been doing with Man of Steel. I've put quite a few people on hide on my Facebook this week to avoid seeing what they could say about the movie. Mm. And after looking inward some, I realized that it's not that I'm afraid that they're going to spoil things. I doubt there's much spoil-worthy stuff in Man of Steel, and he's right, there really isn't. It's just, it's Superman. He flies.
Yeah,
He's real strong.
Oh, he's really Clark Kent. Oh, damn it!
He got a big old S on his chest that's not really an S in his language. It's just something different there on Klingon.
Got some previews right there.
Yeah. You got your... stuff going on, so there's not much to give away anyway, but I want to avoid their opinions on the movie until I've seen it and have a chance to form my own. That's an interesting twist on why we avoid spoilers. It's too much a part of our online society to be the edgy one who comes out saying something stupid and lame, and sometimes that can affect how we view the movie. I completely agree. Although I would say it's more on us to avoid that, but whatever.
And I think he's less worrying about somebody coming out and saying, oh, it's really good, than somebody coming out and saying, oh, this is crap.
Absolutely right. He has high hopes for the movie, and if someone says it's great, he's happy. If someone says it sucks, he doesn't want to hear about that.
Right.
Maybe it's that we think we're trying to avoid spoilers and we really just want to go into a movie and form our own opinions. Schleicher does it right by keeping his reviews neutral. But for every Schleicher, we get a dozen raging fanboys who just want to yell at us for not liking a movie. Despite your saying things are stupid and lame, I will continue to subject myself to your opinions. Eric Von Royer. Yeah, that's actually why I think Schleicher took unwarranted heat for that, because he's a pretty neutral guy about all this stuff.
Yeah.
His opinions and stuff. So, I mean, he sent me a text as soon as I saw the movie and said, so what'd you think? And I said, it was different. I'm still trying to figure out where I'm at on it. And he goes, you know, yeah, I thought it was cool. It was very different and cool. And it was like, in other words, I'm not talking to somebody who's like, dude, it was so lame. They ruined it. Zack Snyder's the worst guy. He's the new M. Night Shyamalan. So I like that about Steven. Anyway, thanks, Eric. We appreciate your email. Makes sense to me. All right. Let's tallywhack it.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
We're going to end the show on time today.
We are.
You know, that stupid eye.
We get a long song, so that actually works out well.
Oh, good. Well, that makes me happy. It's get Cleo on the line. There you go, Ryan. We've done what we came to do. Should we tallywhack it?
Make it so.
It's Cleo. Oh, Cleo. What's going on? How are you?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. You ready for the big event coming up?
I am so excited.
Really?
You guys have no idea. I'm so thrilled to be coming back this year. It's going to be great.
Oh, man.
Are you going to bring your router?
I might bring my router. You never know.
Just bring a piece of hardware, hover over it, and we'll know what you mean.
The first or last time that's been said in this house.
I'm excited to see you. And so many tadpoolers are coming, and gosh.
Who got points before that?
Yeah.
I know, right?
You get a few at the end there. Nice job. All right. Who got points? Thanks. How'd we do?
We were talking about Father's Day today. Kanan said, at the Johnsons, parenting is a team effort. Kim does all the things and Scott hides in the basement talking to himself about poo and video games.
Wow. All right. Remind me to put him on my block list. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, by the way, you're not following me yet on Twitter, and I have an issue with
what?
That, mister.
How is that happening?
I don't know.
I see you all the time.
All the other people.
Oh, I just check.
You?
Brian's been following me. Get on board. Then,
listen, Johnson. I follow I follow so many replies that I think I'm following people. Like, honestly, that surprises me. But I'll get you on there. Don't worry.
Okay, cool.
Don't you worry.
Let me see. We have several cover bands today. A bit of an embarrassment is my Justin Bieber cover band.
Nice.
That was from Thorin. Jay Hammond C said Teabagging Zod is a Nickelback cover band, which is nice. I said that Face Just Caved In on Itself is a Michael Jackson cover band, which is always good.
All right.
Muzzy let us know for a funny today that Skunk Ape is actually Justin Robert Young stumbling hungover through a field.
That's probably about right.
Yeah.
It's pretty accurate.
It sounds about right
to me. The big winner was Jay Hammond C again. When you were talking about Jenna Talikova, the transgender Miss Universe Canada winner, which, by the way, sounds way too much like genital something.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, when Jenna Talikova won the Miss Universe Canada, the runner-up was Amanda Hug and Kiss.
Very nice. Well, congratulations on all of those points.
I'm looking for Amanda Hug and Kiss.
Yep, that's a pretty good mo.
She's in Canada.
It's not bad. Canada, come on. Get it right.
Canada, that's right. America's hat.
Cleo, thanks so much. We'll see you tomorrow. And I can't wait to see you guys at the thing. It's going to be so much
totally
fun.
Yes. Looking
forward to it, guys. It'll be good times.
I know. Yes. Follow her at Coffee Please on Twitter if you guys want to follow her.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, I think I'll do that. what was I going to just tell you? Oh, there's a lot of freaking out on the internet about on Twitter here about this whole Star Trek question about Data and the holodeck. And some have made a pretty good argument saying that Data was born, a.k.a. created, well before any of this holo stuff was working or was a technology. So he is an earlier form of something. I'm just arguing that it seems weird. I guess that makes sense. Like, it's like saying, well, we can't kill Data or start him over because he's not like an old toaster that became obsolete. His obsolescence doesn't mean we just get rid of him. He's kind of, you know, he kind of knows who he is. He's sentient at this point. So even though the holodeck stuff got better, I'm just surprised we didn't see more androids with holodeck level programming. That's all.
Right.
I think that's the main thing. Anyway, it's a TV show. I don't even know what we're saying.
They need to be covered with little yellow lines all over their body, like a grid of yellow lines all over their body, and then it'd be a little too distracting.
This just in. Beep, 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 beep. Beloved Coming to America restaurant McDowell's will soon be demolished.
What?
Yep.
It was really a McDowell's?
It was an old Wendy's that had been converted into that McDowell's, and it has stayed.
Really? Yeah. Like when they changed it up for the movie, they
I guess.
Did they actually open it up as a restaurant, or did they just keep it as like a piece of movie memorabilia?
Well, here's what he said, and it's sort of a historical landmark for me, says John Amos, who played McDowell in the film.
Right.
You'll know him on the West Wing as Fitzsimmons, General Fitzsimmons, Colonel, whatever he was.
Okay.
He said to the Wall Street Journal, there's an attachment to the brick and mortar, but everything crumbles in time and you have to make way for the new stuff. I guess they call it progress. And in the progress, we lose a lot of memories. Louis Anderson, who played a cashier in the film, also lamented the loss. Wow, for me, it was not so much a hamburger stand as a chance to appear in a movie that became somewhat iconic, he said.
I was really disappointed that they didn't actually sell burgers.
Because I would have kept going. Do you remember the scene where the robbery happened? And Eddie Murphy had to stop the robbery with his mop?
Did you know that was
Samuel L. Jackson robbing the place?
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, here's the scene. I'm going to play a little bit of it. Here he is walking in. Whoops, hold on. That volume is way down. Let me turn that up and let me back it up.
Get the mother effing money out of the mother effing cash register.
All right, here he goes.
All right, everybody shut up and do what I say.
That's him, all right.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Stay cool. Nobody gets hurt. Take the money out. All of it.
Okay, I get. Oh, there's Louis. Hold on.
Don't stall me, fat boy. Let's go.
What part of get the money out of the register did you not understand?
I wonder if he's This is early. This would have been early for him, right? I don't think even Jurassic Park was out yet.
This was before.
His star had not yet risen. That's great. Very cool.
Let's see where it stands in his pantheon. The guy is. Dude, how many movies? Holy mackerel. Not even his 10th credit. I guess, let's see, about 10th credit. Coming to America. He was in School Days before that. Ragtime. Gang Member Number 2. The Exterminator is an uncredited extra. This would have been his first. This in School Days would have been his first big role. And then A Man Called. Oh, that was a TV show. Do the Right Thing, mm-hmm. 1989.
I remember that.
Sea of Love, 1989, as Black Guy.
That's Shut up.
I'm not kidding. That's his character credit.
Mm.
With Al Pacino.
Yeah, great.
Ooh.
Well, he's come a long way, baby.
Yes.
He's now running S.H.I.E.L.D., so good for him.
That's right.
That's it. We are done. Let's get out of here. I want to thank the fine team over at alphageekradio.com for their Shoutcast stream today. Letting us hook onto that has always been a nice little feature of the show for years now, and we really appreciate it. Scott Fletcher does our fantastic voice work here on the show, does little bumpers and stuff. We love him. He'll be at Nerdtacular doing a lot of MC stuff, so please check him out there. If you're not coming, check out the stream, of course. We're on frogpants.com/TMS. That's our website. It's on the web, the internet. The information superhighway. Facebook.com/TheMorningStream is where you'll find us on Facebook. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter @MorningStream. Scott Johnson and Coverville. Speaking of covers, let's play a cover.
Sure.
Or something.
Almost didn't. If I would have went with what they originally requested, it wouldn't have been a cover.
Whoa.
Hammond Chamberlain. Well, this guy's getting all the credit today. He won all the points from Cleo today, too. So, holy cow. Congratulations, Jay Hammond C.
He also sent us these copies of Chaos with Jason Statham and Ryan Phillippe.
Ooh.
He also sent The Rock, I want to say that was his.
The Rock and the Hulk Hogan
I think so. Tupac. The Hulk Hogan Tupac, I think. Hulk Hogan Tupac.
Tupac, yeah.
Those are heading out to you guys shortly here. So, yeah.
Super.
He's a very, very contributive. Is that a word? No. A very generous member of the Tadpool and the Frog Pants community.
Nice.
Yeah. He deserves credit for that.
Very cool. Well, he's going to get some credit. Well, he's going to get some music anyway to his credit.
Right.
He says, hey, barbecue and skewer. June 16th marks the day that 13 years ago I was married to the most understanding and patient person I have ever met. My wife, Stacy, and I have two lovely children, Sydney and Audrey, and she has helped me be more than I ever thought I could be. She will be at Snowbird, hiking and hanging out with the kids while I get my nerd on. Could I get you to play a song for me? I know it's not a cover, but could you please play When You Give Your Love to Me by Kevin Gilbert? If you can't do that, then I trust you'll find something that fits. Also, just a reminder that we're also celebrating Captain Picard Day. So happy anniversary to Stacy. I love you. And to the rest of you, happy Captain Picard Day. Jay Hammond, C in the Tadpole. What is it that makes it Captain Picard Day? Is there a,
there's something about that.
June 17th, was that his birthday in the show?
Maybe. I don't know what the deal is there, but I had a bunch of people tell me, how are you celebrating Captain Picard Day? I'm like, I feel like a loser because I didn't know there was
four holidays.
Wesley, spread the news about my holiday. Yeah, I have no idea.
So I am a huge, huge fan of Kevin Gilbert. Kevin Gilbert started out for me as half of the band. Really, I mean, the majority of the band, Toy Matinee, back in the 90s, had a big song with the Ballad of Jenny Ledge. And if the name doesn't sound familiar, that song, go look it up when we're done here. Look up, pull up the YouTube for the Ballad of Jenny Ledge, and you'll totally recognize the song. It was a big alternative radio hit. He was also part of the Tuesday Night Music Club, which is the group that met in LA every Tuesday night, got together and wrote songs and recorded them that spawned Sheryl Crow, and actually that she named her first album after, which Kevin Gilbert also helped write. He helped write things like All I Wanna Do and Leaving Las Vegas and some of those first songs on her first album. Unfortunately, he also died a few years ago. He took his life after recording a really, really good album called Thud, and another album. What was that one called? It was I got to look it up because it is probably the last concept album, the last great concept album I've heard. It's like the rise and oh, there it is, The Shaming of the Truth. Thank you, Hammond and the Tadpole. It's like it's a concept album that follows the rise and fall of a rock star, and you know, when you hear about what happened to him, you kind of almost feel like this could be sort of autobiographical. Mm. So worth checking out, The Shaming of the Truth. Best $10 you'll spend all week if you buy that album. It's really, really good.
All right.
As part of Thud. He recorded live at the Troubadour, big LA club, I believe, recorded this awesome cover of Led Zeppelin's Kashmir. I want to play this instead of When You Give Your Love to Me, just because, number one, I want to play a cover, and this one's got a little bit more oomph, and I was already playing a slower song for the first half. So here is Kashmir, of course, originally by Zeppelin, covered here by Kevin Gilbert and Thud from the Live at the Troubadour live recording. This is great. You're going to love this.
All right, perfect. Let's do it. Real quick, Daryl's now claiming on Twitter that the rule that we have to live by is if you are not in the credits, then you are not a Star Trek connection.
Oh, really?
So
okay.
I can see that argument.
It would be nice to actually have a hard and fast rule, a hard and fast definition of what makes you a Star Trek connection.
But by a pure verbal use of the terms Star Trek connection, she is connected to Star Trek. That's all I'm saying. We need to change the name then. Star Trek credit person, if that's how this is going to roll. Anyway, it's getting interesting. Big dust up there on Twitter about all this. All right. That's it. Let's play the song. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Chinbeard, Jury Duty, Other Duty.
And more.
And more.
So Daryl and more.
Yeah, be back for that because we all think.
Great ID.
Yeah, it's a great ID. That's supposed to be idea.
I can hold. I'm down with that, bub.
All right, everybody. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, chat room. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone who can hear my voice. It's Kashmir. Kashmir. Kashmir? Kashmir.
Kashmir.
We'll see you tomorrow.
The sun beat down upon my face, stars to fill my dreams. I am a traveler of both time and space, to be where I have been. And sit with elders of a gentle race, this world is seldom seen. And talk of days for which they sit and wait, all will be revealed.
turns to brown. As the sun burns the ground, trying to find where I've been.
COD charges by using your credit card.
Call now.